Friends, will you please join with me in prayer? Let us pray. Loving God, in a world of fake news and half-truths, we are longing for a true word from you. And so we ask in the quiet of this moment that you would still every voice within us except your own and startle us with your truth. We pray this in the name of your Son. Amen. So as Evan explained, today at Broad Street Ministry, we are marking something that we call Prophet Sunday. We recognize the ways in which this particular community has been guided and formed by the prophetic voice in the world. So once a year, we specifically want to lift up the voices of individuals who have spoken prophetic truth to their specific communities. A prophet is someone who throughout history, both in the Bible and in the modern day, serves as a mouthpiece for God, who both comforts and challenges communities in distress, who partners with God in tearing down systems of oppression and spreading peace and justice throughout the world. She grieves deeply the suffering and destruction in her community. She finds hope in the faithfulness of God to humanity. She speaks with passion because her very life and soul are bound up in her words. We know that a prophet's life is not an easy life. It's a hard life to live. The prophet shows an acute sensitivity to evil. She's someone who feels each injustice in the core of her being, and she carries those problems, those issues on her shoulders around with her. She cannot help but be affected by the tensions bubbling beneath the surface of everyday life, and she is rejected for bringing those tensions to light. In the ways that she confronts the oppressive power systems in her community and reimagines an alternative way of living, her life is questioned and even threatened by the powers that be. Those who have a vested interest in keeping things the way they are, they will do anything to silence the voice of the prophet. They'll denounce it, they'll belittle it, attack it, threaten it, imprison it, even kill the prophet to silence the voice. I don't think any of you here today need a reminder of the heaviness in the world and how difficult it can be to speak truth to power. I know many of you are carrying these pains with you. I know that I carry these pains with me every single day when I go home. I was reminded of that this week because I had a nightmare. I had a nightmare this week, and in my dream, I dreamed that my best friend had just witnessed and lost her entire family in a brutal house fire. And I ran to my friend in the dream, and I tried to wrap my arms around her and comfort her, but I realized that I couldn't do anything to fix it. I couldn't comfort her. I couldn't make it better. I was powerless to help her in the face of this tremendous tragedy. And so in the dream, I became so overwhelmed, and I began to sob, and I was so upset that I forced myself awake, and I jolted awake just covered in sweat. My husband next to me asked me what was wrong, and I said, I had just had this terrible nightmare. And I explained the nightmare to him, and he said, of course you had that nightmare. You are carrying the weights of so many people's pains, and you are bringing that pain home with you. We carry the pain of the people around us, of a broken government, of a divided country, of an inhumane immigration system, of the unexpected deaths of loved ones, of unexplained illnesses, of marginalized communities trying to prove their right to exist and matter. We carry even the minutiae of having to pay our bills on time. We are a community that feels all of these pains. We are not yet numb to the suffering of the world. And while we may feel the prophetic voice stirring within us, we are left wondering, how are we supposed to keep going? How do we keep going when the weight of the world is resting on our shoulders? How do we move forward? Jeremiah was a 7th century prophet who was given a seemingly impossible task. He was to be a prophet to the nations and proclaim the impending disaster of his entire homeland, the exile of his people, the disappearance of everything he knows and loves in this life. Throughout the book of Jeremiah, the prophet describes with remarkable vividness a near play-by-play of the disaster as it reaches his own bedroom. He's known in the Bible as the weeping prophet because he would live a life full of oppression and agony and despair. He is emotionally and spiritually torn apart by the destruction of his home. My anguish, I writhe in pain, he writes in Jeremiah 4. Oh, the walls of my heart is beating wildly. I cannot keep silent, for I hear the sound of trumpets, the alarm of war. Jeremiah grieves, and he grieves deeply in an attempt to wake up the numbed masses to the oppression and chaos in their midst. He, like so many other biblical prophets, faces extreme opposition from those in power. They don't want to hear anything about war and destruction. They punish Jeremiah for speaking the truth. His neighbors, even his own family, they would attack him, imprison him, beat him for performing his prophetic duties, for speaking truth to power. He would suffer greatly in his lifetime. In our biblical passages for today, it seems as though God knew what horrors lay in store for Jeremiah. While God calls other prophets throughout the Bible, no other prophet is offered a commissioning quite like this one to Jeremiah. God assures the young teenage prophet that God created him, especially uniquely him, for this moment, for this situation. God promises that God knows Jeremiah through and through, and that God decided long before his parents or his parents' parents were born that Jeremiah was the right person for this moment. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you. You are my prophet, and you are not alone. God places this promise, this irrevocable truth, into Jeremiah's head so that when he's rejected, when he's mocked, when he's beaten and imprisoned, these words of comfort would remain. I know you. I made you. I chose you. The role of the prophet is to remain acutely attuned to the pains of the world while also remembering that we were uniquely made for this important, trying work. God attempts to prepare Jeremiah for what will come next, saying, "Out of the north, disaster shall break out on all of the inhabitants of the land, and I will utter my judgments against them. For all their wickedness in forsaking me, they have made offerings to other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands." God seems to know that Jeremiah will soon be attacked, and so God charges the prophet to gird up his loins, to be prepared to run, be prepared to fight. God then assures Jeremiah that he is strong enough to withstand the attacks ahead. God promises God's protection, saying, "I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall against the whole land. They will fight you, but they will not prevail over you." Jeremiah's fate is different from that of his country. God explains, "Look, things are going to change. Things will fall apart. Entire systems and empires will be torn at the seams, but you will not. You will remain, and I will remain with you." The prophet's job is to fight, to resist evil, to speak truth to power, even as that power seeks to destroy you. But the prophet's job is also to remain, to fortify ourselves against the chaos of the world, to exist, even when the world tries to deny our existence. MLK tells a story about a woman he met in Montgomery, Alabama, affectionately known as Sister Pollard. She was about 72 years old when he met her and still working at the time. During the bus boycotts of 1956, she would walk to work to and from every single day. One day, someone stopped her and asked, "Wouldn't you like a ride?" And she said, "No." And so the driver moved on, but then stopped, thought for a moment, and reversed and said, "Well, aren't you tired?" And she said, "Yes, my feet are tired, but my soul is well rested." Friends, I know that you are tired. You're tired not only because of the beginning of the year and the weather and the things that we carry. I know you're tired because you're carrying the weights of other people on your shoulders. I know you are not immune to the hatred that so clearly surrounds us this day, but the prophet urges you to remember that you are loved. You are worthy of love. You were loved into existence, and no one, not a government, not a law, not a military policy, not a church, not even a wealthy empire, can make your existence any less real. You are here, and you are still here. You deserve tomorrow. So go out into this day, fortified against the brokenness of the world, remembering that you were created for this particular moment, this time in history. Go out into this day, fortified, knowing that you are loved, because we need you to be able to do the prophetic work we're called to do. Amen.